Hello, you're listening to Sean from Galactic Chat, and today I'm interviewing Australian author and publisher Stephen Ormsby. Welcome to the podcast, Stephen.
Thank you, Sean, and how are you today?
Brilliant, brilliant. A little bit cold, but that's nothing to complain about.
Never.
No. You've recently launched Satellite Publishing, a smallish Australian press. What drew you to the decision, considering the current state of publishing, both locally, meaning Australia, and globally?
Firstly, I've published a couple of novels in America, and really the decision that made it all happen for me was that getting the books back out to Australia was nightmarish, basically. You get a bit of exposure in America, you sell copies in America, but getting yourself seen over here as an Australian author is almost impossible. So it really came down to, I know a lot of great Australian authors that are having to do the same thing. Go over to America, sell their stuff over there, and struggle forever more to get it seen over here. So I thought the best thing I could do was to get Australian authors back on Australian bookshelves. And the way to do that was to start publishing people. And the reason why we've called ourselves Satellite Publishing as opposed to, say, Satellite Press, is that I don't think it's a small idea. I think once this starts rolling, we'll really see a lot of great Australian authors come out of the woodwork to be freed up from the traditional model of publishing and actually be involved in what they can do with their own works. With the traditional model, once you sort of submit that work, it becomes a very hard process for the author to be involved with, I think. So I really want to change that paradigm.
I can remember reading, I think it was Simon Haynes, who's publishing in Western Australia, and he was telling me that, or I was reading, I can't quite remember, it's a while ago, that it was actually cheaper at one stage there to get review copies to people in Australia, so I could get the book reviewed here. Mm. It was cheaper to get them sent from overseas to here, so
yeah.
There's all sorts of issues around Australia being a really, really big country and having to post over great distances.
Yeah.
Your first title is Tales of Australia, Great Southern Land. Now, it's a collection of novelettes featuring internationally known authors like Sean McMullen and Lee Battersby. And I note Galactic Chat's own David McDonald, and he managed to keep that under his hat quite well. What influenced you to go with a collection as your first, your flagship work?
Well, it really happened that when I was contracted to my American publisher, I went and asked them to do this collection for them. But when I started talking about creating an Australian publishing company out here for Australians, I was summarily dropped from my publisher. So I ended up with half a book in progress and no one to publish it. This is basically the second reason why it all sort of launched itself. Because I had, as you said, those names, they were writing for me and they're brilliant stories. And I didn't want them just to sort of fade away because I couldn't do anything with them. So I went, okay, I'll publish it. I had a story in there for the American company, but not wanting to be seen as a self-publisher, I've actually removed my story from it. So it was originally going to have 9 authors, one of them being myself. But not to create that stigma of being a self-publisher, I've actually taken it out.
One of the issues at the moment with e-books, I suppose, both as a consumer and I imagine as a publisher, is format. I've just been briefly looking over your website, and Satellite's decided to go with Mobi files at this stage. I just wanted to ask, is there a plan to expand to other formats later on?
I envisage that we will, and I envisage that it will happen rather quickly, simply because there's no real standard out there. We haven't sort of gone the music mark and gone with, we'll all be doing MP3s. Mm. We're still fighting between EPUBs and Mobis Mobi file format. So once that battle works out and what we work out which one's the beta and which one's the VHS, we'll just run with that. One of them was soon enough to turn into the beta of the publishing world.
You know that sometimes I use that comparison with kids I teach, and a few of them don't actually know what beta and VHS is, so that's when you know you're really old. Now, I was wondering if the consumer desire to have a book in a preferred format, is that, do you think, an extra barrier to smaller publishers who have to basically design a new book for every format? So if you're producing, say, one book, you do print copy, and then you've got to do your PDF, your Mobi, and your EPUB. Do you find that's a thing that you have to try and overcome?
If, as we just spoke about, we do open up to more file formats, it's going to be the way it goes. So there isn't much difference anymore between a Mobi and an EPUB. There's a lot of software there now that does a relatively good conversion of one from the other. So once you drop one, once you have a nice, neat Mobi file, I expect that you'll end up with a nice, neat EPUB file relatively quickly after that.
Now, although you've got a number of speculative fiction authors and we're a speculative fiction podcast, you're not tying yourself to one a particular genre. And I wanted to ask, was this a philosophical decision, an economic decision, or a bit of both?
A bit of both, really. This also goes in with branding ourselves as a publishing house and not just a press. I didn't want to be seen as a small press. That's why I steered away from that. And the other way to be seen as a real publishing house is to cross genres so that if a person comes and looks at your site, you're going to have something that may interest them, not just looking at targeting for a genre-specific market. As it is, we've just signed on an author who writes children's books, and we're looking at doing, I don't know if it's called romance, but we may even have a romance novel coming out relatively soon as well. We just want to be seen as having great works without being genre-specific.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting approach. And probably looking at science fiction or spec fic around the world, you'd be hard-pressed to make a living on just doing the one small genre, I think. That's probably the way to go. You do offer print as well,
yes,
as e-books, and your service targets those authors that might consider self-publishing through something like CreateSpace. And you made particular reference in your website FAQ that your use of an Australian printer will get your authors onto the Ingram database. Could you, because I have no idea of this myself, can you explain what the advantage of that is to Australian authors?
Yep. We'll be using Lightning Source, which is a global printing company, and what they also have is offices in Australia, America, and UK. So that if we order Australian books, they'll be printed in Australia, delivered to an Australian person. But if we have an Australian author that wants to go over to America to do a con of some sort, we can have the books printed in America for that Australian author, available for them for when they pick it up. So with going with a global printer like that, we just open up the avenues for being able to help them get their work around. The second advantage of using Lightning Source is they own, or I think they actually own, the Ingram database. And the Ingram database is one of the main databases that book sellers and bookstores use to order titles through. So if a person walks into a bookshop and says, I'm looking for Great Southern Land, they'll type on their little typey machine, otherwise known as a computer, I suppose. And they'll, if it's in the Ingram database, they'll hit it. If they hit it, they can order it. So a simple dynamic, really, that opens up too many doors.
No, that sounds like an excellent idea. And I've been thinking about e-books and talking about e-books and books, obviously, for probably 3 or 4 years. And that's the way that I sort of envisaged it going, and what, you know, people who said they knew what was happening with ebooks said should be the way to go. You, it didn't matter where you were, you could get, you know, a printer in Melbourne or Sydney or New York to print the book where it's where the customer is. So, yeah. I mean, that's heartening to see that that's actually coming along, because I think that's only going to be good for readers and for authors. I've noticed that Satellite includes both editing and design as part of the contract.
Yep.
And your art director is your wife, Marika?
Yes, she is, Marika.
Yep. Marika? Apologies, Marika. now, what benefits do you see for authors in having a small team offering these services?
The main benefits I see is that I read the works, I edit the works, and I get a feel for each novel that I read. These I can pass directly on to Marika, who will take those and start working on a cover. The other thing we're doing is actually having the authors involved in the process, and they'll be able to give us their suggestions as what they'd like to see as those key elements on a cover as well. So working with a small team, we're friendly. we do that thing that the big houses don't do. We want to talk to our authors about getting their work out there the way they want to see it. So we are only small now because we're only starting up, obviously, but when and if we do go those next steps to start looking at people that we need for editing and design work, they'll maintain the same process. They'll talk to the authors, they'll talk to us. We'll get a consensus about what we want to see that's best for the author and best for us without cutting anybody out of the picture.
And do you think we're perhaps going to see, this is a very broad question, not quite related to Satellite publishing, but do you think we'll see that change where I note when I'm talking to big houses when they're sending me a review copy that most of them are located in Sydney or Melbourne.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll see the situation where we'll have editors based anywhere around Australia, could be in the middle of nowhere, design somebody living down on the coast in Foster where you are, and presenting a professional top quality product that can sell good copy?
My oath, to be very Australian about it. basically, it's the same logic we're using for the authors. Talent is everywhere. They're in the furthest reaches of Australia to being in the cities. It doesn't matter where you are. You're either good at what you do or you're not. If you're a great writer, all you need to do is be found. If you're a great illustrator, great cover designer, all you need to do is get your stuff out there and be found by somebody who wants to use it. We're in the world of electronic. We barely need to see each other face-to-face anymore. You can get incredible stuff from everywhere. And that's something, as long as these people are Australian and they have a great reputation for their product, I'm hoping and happy to get in touch with them and start using their stuff.
That's good for us here, I think. We've talked a bit around the launch title. We do have international listeners on the podcast. Can you give us, I suppose, a bit of a short pitch? Can you tell us what we can expect from the Tales of Australia book?
Yep. The Tales of Australia I see as an ongoing anthology series. We're already looking at lining up authors for books 3 and 4. But basically what it is going to be 8 or 9 novelettes a go. So you get a nice chunky story of about 7,500 plus words. I think the longest in this first book is about 12,000. So you get a real flavour for the author of themselves in something that size. The other thing we're really wanting to do is it has to be based or have a real Australian feel to it. And so that it really will show the variance in genres that this country can produce. For example, we've got Lee Battersby writing... who opens the anthology with a story about the Batavia with a nice real horror twist to it. Sean McMullins is about a French werewolf in the Dandenongs. We have A. Finlay, who's written about, I won't say fairies, but I will say fairies, because it's a little creature she calls Jalen, and it's a nice little story around that. And we have Dean Mays, who is not a spec fic writer, who's written this real sort of reminiscent piece about coming home to Yalor North. And we close the whole collection with David MacDonald, who writes an alternative history to John McKinley going to look for Burke and Wills. So it really goes across a really interesting gamut of what Australia means.
And okay, so in this lead title, Tales of Australia, it does have a spec fic slant to it, but you're saying with following books you are going to just mix it up and just have quality writing?
Basically, as long as they have something about Australia to do with it, I really want to include it. I don't think this one was meant to be quite a spec fic as it turned out, but that's the way these things happen. Once you let people run with it, and that's the other thing I want to do really with it, is all they've got to do is, it's got to be Australia, and let them just run with whatever idea they like. I don't want to limit genre or tell them that I can't write that simply because it might not fit. So we're going to have some interesting works in the second volume. I actually think we've even got an erotica story in the second volume, which will come out probably earlier next year. And that's mixed in with a couple of other stories, including a Tony Shillitoe story, who hasn't been around for a while now, but he wrote a nice little story for us.
I was going to say, that's a name that I remember quite some time ago.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking a bit about the other books that you've got in the process there. I was reading the Southern Star newspaper did a story on one of your authors. You've got 15 books, I think they quoted, in line for publication.
Yep.
I was just wondering, does this mean Stephen Ormsby, the author, is on hiatus for a while?
Yes, it does. Simply because there's not enough hours in the day. Basically, if I manage to do any of my own writing before the beginning of next year, I'll be really surprised. So, yes, I've gone on hiatus for a while.
Oh, well, the things we have to do. All right, I suppose to finish off, the authors you've got in your list, do you want to just introduce our listeners to some people that you've got coming up in the next 6 months or so?
Right, okay.
If I put you on the spot.
I've got to do a quick memory check now. We have Bevan McGuinness, who's written a couple of fantasy trilogies. He's come over to us to release his first thriller novel, which is an Australian story, which is not ironic, I suppose, which is actually really, really quite gripping and drags you along quite quickly. We have Jeremy Davies, a Melbourne author, who's written a 30s crime noir crossed with Terry Pratchett with centaurs in it, which is just utterly Terry Pratchett and warped, which is really good fun. I've just signed on a trilogy for a guy called Steve Gilshannon, who's a Sydney-sider who's teaching in Japan, who's written a trilogy of kung fu fiction novels.
I was going to say it's a fairly broad approach there in terms of the genres that you're taking on. So.
Yeah. Then there's a children's book coming up called Monster Feet by Angie Harris. So yeah, we really just want to produce good stuff. And the little Monster Feet book, I had a ball reading and had a good laugh at it myself. So if a 40-year-old bloke can laugh at a children's book, I think it's got a good chance.
Yeah, widely applicable. It's been an absolute pleasure talking with you, Stephen. Thanks for the opportunity, and I'd like to wish you good luck with the launch of Tales of Australia, Great Southern Land.
Thank you. It's been a blast, and I'm sure it's going to be constantly busy for about the next year, but I'm loving every minute of it, and being able to give authors that chance that they might not have ever got is quite a rush for myself and for the authors. And you keep getting these wonderful emails about how they're all bursting at the seams just to know that they're going to see their stuff in print. It's an amazing feeling to be able to do, and I hope to keep doing it for a little while yet.